pressure itself is not the problem. It's how you view pressure. Because the same pressure that will burst a pipe is the same pressure that can make a diamond. So either you can allow the pressure to break you, or you can allow the pressure to make you. The same thing with disruption. When disruption comes into our lives, we can either allow it to break us, or we can allow it to make us and use it to better ourselves, to come out stronger, to come out better, to come out wiser. That when we come out of the disruptive moment, because that's what we have to realize, disruption is not a permanent place. Disruption is a moment that oftentimes we turn into momentum or a movement.
Subscribe now.
Welcome to the Unscripted Authentic Leadership Podcast, a podcast where we're seeking to lead change while also seeking to understand. We're also here as a platform for leaders to come together to unite, to develop, and empower other leaders in the areas of business, family, and community. I'm your host, Lafayette Lane, joined by co-host John LeBron, and tonight we're here to have a conversation about disruption. Lately, I've been reading a book, T.D. Jakes' recent release. Believe it or not, I think he's written over 20-something New York Times bestsellers and probably 30-plus books over the years, which is insane. I've been reading about disruptive thinking. It got me thinking about this whole idea about disruption, which is kind of I don't know if the word is weird, but kind of a word that people don't want to talk about, because when I think of disruption, I think about like being in school and somebody is talking while the teacher's talking, they're being a disruption. And the teacher says, you know, stop, because your disruption is causing others, that is hindering others from learning or hearing instruction, are causing the progression of the moment to go forward because of disruption. But what T.D. Jakes talks about is that sometimes you need disruption for something to be birthed new in your life. I can think about in my own life, man, that disruption is not comfortable. And sometimes some of my greatest questioning to God of why is because I feel like he wrecked my plans. He disrupted my plans. He disrupted my life. He disrupted altered my course. Even when we look at that definition of disruption, it means disturbance or problems which interrupt an event, activity, or process. So many people this year have been frustrated because they feel like their plans have been disrupted. And because it's been disrupted, we kind of look at it from a negative perspective, not realizing that sometimes in order for us to move from a monument to movement to momentum, we have to experience disruption. We have to experience disruption of thinking, disruption of patterns, disruptions of habits, disruptions of our daily events, of how we're going. I believe that you talked about disruption. I remember when we first started the podcast, you talked about how your dad would park in the same parking spot at work. And one day you decided to disrupt his pattern of behavior.
Yeah.
Just so he can see a different perspective of the world, just so he can see a different view of going into work, because sometimes you miss what's right in front of you, what's right in front of your eyes, because you have the same pattern of behavior, and you won't be able to see differently unless your vision and your eyesight and what has been put in front of you has been disrupted. Like, how many people have we looked over, not because we were rude, not because like we were trying to intentionally be prideful or think that we were all of that? We walked in a room, we had our mindset on something, and we looked, or we walked past someone and they got offended because we were so focused on what we were doing. And it wasn't until somebody bumped into us, somebody disrupted our movement, somebody disrupted our momentum, that we noticed, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't even see you there. I didn't even know where I was going. I didn't even notice. And we miss so many things. We miss so many people And if we expand that to a high level, how many moments have we missed because we're so focused in our normal and our normality that we have not embraced disruption? And I know that is so, that is uncomfortable, because I'm a creature, we're all creatures of habits, right? Like I have to have a schedule, I have to have things planned, and I hate surprises, because surprises cause disruption. And disruption really causes a sense of, man, I'm not in control of this moment. I'm not in control. I have to make a shift. I have to make a pivot. I have to just go with the flow. I have to figure it out on the dime because of disruption. When you hear this word disruption, John, like, what comes to your mind, man? And how do you feel about disruption?
I love what you said. When you first brought up disruption, the first thing I thought of was, what's type of disruption? Because in my mind, and I don't know if I have the right words for it exactly, but there's basically, I guess I would boil it down to two types of disruption. You have intentional disruption, where you're saying, I am stagnant. I need to disrupt something so I can move forward and get out of this rut. Sort of like what I did with my dad in his parking space. Yeah, he loved, he still does. He loved the same spot. And so I started getting there early and taking a spot just to mess with him, because he likes the same foods, the same spots. And he does, I mean, he's a successful man. He does, has a great life, but it was just me just being his son saying, hey, let's switch it up. So there's the intentional disruption. And then there's sort of that external force of unintentional disruptions, things that are sort of, that come at you to sort of inhibit the progression that you are trying to get to, maybe like the pandemic, or maybe something within your family that maybe disrupts your day or your plans or your goals. It could be family. It could be somebody said something to you and it made you sort of slow down in what you're doing. It's a disruption that you didn't intend to happen. So I guess I looked at it as two things, and it was one, unintended disruptions, which you have to sort of learn how to essentially shield and keep moving towards where you're going. But then there's also that ability to have some sort of understanding of when you are in a funk or in a rut and it's time to switch things up. It's time to disrupt your daily routine, maybe your career. For the most part, I love to disrupt things by small things, not making big giant changes, but stay on task, stay where I'm going, but make little tweaks. Like maybe go take a morning walk now instead of what I was doing before. Get up earlier in the day or start a new exercise routine. That's definitely a disruption if you're not used to it. But these can be positive, amazing disruptions that really impact your life.
Man, that's so good how you differentiate and categorize the internal disruption and then the external disruption. Because the external disruption are those disruptions that everybody can see. Mm-hmm. Something is a regular life. You go through a divorce. You lose a child. You lose a job. You lose money. You lose a house. Everyone can see that. And that comes with a level of embarrassment. That comes with a level of shame. It could come with a level of guilt. It could come with a variety of emotions. But the disruption that a lot of people are dealing with and are crumbling under is that internal disruption. The disruption of depression. The disruption of we're in a different type of pandemic. It seems like we're in a mental health pandemic, like mental health awareness is at an all-time high. I'm internally struggling to be a good father. I'm internally struggling to be a good husband, a good coach, a good leader. And it's that internal disruption that nobody can see, that you internalize with, and that you have to face every day, as Michael Jackson says, the man in the mirror. That internal disruption can be a killer, that if you don't deal with it, it will eventually deal with you. I preached a sermon the other week entitled The Blessing of Pressure, and I dealt with internal pressure versus external pressure and how It is all about, it's never about the pressure itself. The pressure itself is not the problem. It's how you view pressure. Because the same pressure that will burst a pipe is the same pressure that can make a diamond. So either you can allow the pressure to break you, or you can allow the pressure to make you. The same thing with disruption. When disruption comes into our lives, we can either allow it to break us, or we can allow it to make us and use it to better ourselves, to come out stronger, to come out better, to come out wiser. That when we come out of the disruptive moment, because that's what we have to realize, disruption is not a permanent place. Disruption is a moment that oftentimes we turn into to momentum or a movement. So you may have lost your job and been out of a job for 3 months, but because you went into a sunken place of disruption, you allow that moment to take you to a depression for 3 years. You allowed a loss to set you back a whole decade. There are people that literally have given up on their dreams, given up on their visions, given up on their goals, given up on their purpose because they had a disruptive moment that was only supposed to be temporary, that they allowed to be permanent. And they died outside of purpose because they allowed a moment to turn into momentum. I'm going to say it again, because somebody that's listening to this right now, you're asking yourself, is my life even worth living? Like, what is the purpose of me getting up? What is the purpose of me breathing? What is the purpose of me inhaling, exhaling? Because you feel like you've experienced so much disruption that your life has no purpose. But there can be no purpose without disruption. If purpose was easy and purpose was smooth and purpose was a straight line, everybody would do it. But purpose is only set for those who embrace disruption and can manage a moment that is abrupt, that just came out of nowhere, that caught you off guard. But you took that moment. You took a moment to cry. You took a moment to sit back and say, man, this sucks. I'm be honest. It don't feel good. It doesn't feel good to me, but I know it's working for me. Like, it doesn't always feel good, but because you embrace it and turn it, that I'm not going to be pessimistic about this. I'm going to be optimistic about this. That maybe you losing your job or losing what you thought was going so well was the moment that you needed to become an entrepreneur, was the moment that you needed to start your masterclass, to start your online business, to start your school, to start going back and doing what you know you put down because of disruptive moment. Sometimes you need disruption to start a new evolution in your life, to begin all over again. Sometimes you ever seen a dilapidated area that was already halfway torn down, and you wonder why they didn't just tear the houses down, and then all of a sudden a tornado comes through and wipes the whole area out. Well, if that tornado would have never came through, we would have just had an eyesore in the community that would have never been taken away because someone wanted to hold on to what was dead, that was no longer bringing life and no longer bringing beauty, no longer was bringing value. And it took disruption to take something away that was no longer giving profitability, that was no longer bringing life and resources to the things around it. So sometimes you need disruption to create a birthing in you.
Wow. So while we're talking about this mental health part, I want to cue in on this. And you had said something, and it reminded me of something I'd heard once before, and that's, don't let a bad moment turn into a bad day, a bad week, and a bad month, and so on.
Yeah.
Like, let the bad moment just be the moment. Why? Sure. Don't let it creep into the very next moment. Have it, have your feelings on it, get through it, get past it as quick as you can, and don't hold on to it, because you're probably the only one holding on to it, not whoever frustrated you.
Yep.
And you talked about we're in a pandemic for mental health.
Yes.
And there's a lot of studies coming out now. I don't know if there's a lot. There are studies coming out that are showing that depression is not a chemical imbalance. Now, a medical study that's pro-pharma will not show you that, because the chemical imbalance means that you're something wrong with you. You're created with an imperfection that can only be balanced by medication. Okay. Therefore, and a lot of physicians, right, they subscribe to basically national, you know, what work the national medical associations and so forth, which are run by pharmaceuticals, which get paid when you take their medications. But there's a lot of things. A man named Dr. Amen, A-M-E-N, you find him on Instagram. He's incredible. He's a brain study doctor who will tell you that you are not depressed because of a chemical imbalance. You might be feeling moments of depression, but it doesn't mean you're an depressed person. The beauty behind that, someone's going to throw a stone and say, no, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. The beauty behind this is that there's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken.
Come on.
I mean, we all are broken, but you're not made different than somebody else. In fact, that you can't be repaired or self-repaired without a special pill that makes you feel odd and never as yourself again, that you'll have to be dependent on forever. There's no dependency of you on medications. In fact, they show that the feeling of depression often stems from feeling a lack of purpose and a lack of direction, meaning you don't know what to do with your life. I've had multiple people come to me in the last 2 weeks or so saying, I don't know what my purpose is. How do I find it? And while there's exercises you can do to sort of help find a purpose, it doesn't mean it's going to help you find the purpose, because the reality of the situation is your purpose will likely change through life. But you can step into today's purpose and see where it takes you next. And since we're talking about disruption will often help you, if you let it, get closer to your purpose. Let me share a quick story of my, like a quick glimpse of my life. And I was reflecting on this as you shared that last statement. When I was 23, I was a military brat kid. So I went from California to Ohio. I didn't want to move, because to me, when you live in California, there's no other place to live, according to everybody who lives in California. Well, now it's changing, but at the time, we all don't pay attention to the rest of the country, right? Yeah, it's not too far from LA, a couple hours, whatever. So we moved to Ohio, was not excited about it. So I moved here, I'm 13. By the time I'm 16, I met my future wife. 3 years, right? We weren't dating. We started dating at 17, but I met her when I was 16. I saw her the first time when I was 15 years old. I still remember the day I saw her. And it was like God shined a light on her. Da, da, da. Anyways, so incredible. So that never would have happened, by the way, and my amazing kids would not be here with me today if we didn't have that incredible disruption at 12 and a half years old to move across the country. So very cool. So I moved here. Went to college, graduated. As I graduated, I took a job, and the first recession in 2008 or so, right before the 2009 crash, but the recession started hitting in 2008, and I lost my first job 4 months into the job. I had just gotten married. I was not excited. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't afford the heat. We moved our mattress into our apartment living room because I happened to have a fireplace. It's a long story how I even got that. And we sat there with the fireplace in the middle of the night throughout the winter, snuggled in. Now, being snuggled with your wife in front of the fireplace is not the worst thing in the world, but it was cold, okay? And so I don't have a job. I had a job, lost it. That stinks. The only job I could pick up was at a warehouse. So I get this job at the warehouse. At the warehouse, they taught me, outside of just packing boxes and stuff, I got it because I was sort of a corporate kid now working in a warehouse. They said, this guy knows computer stuff. And they taught me how to do not just inventory management, but sort of soft skills in program management. Well, what that did, I didn't know it, is it got me my job just a few years later at a big corporate company. So I had this auto software company said, he's got skills. So I went there. They got a job there as a mini program manager. Big disruption. First one, I lost my job, gained something. I didn't know what to do. They said, you got pretty good people skills. Cool. I learned how to do some slight management of a program. Got me a better job. Went to there. So I took that job. Worked there. While I was there, my dad decided to start a company. Because I was at this new job with a better resume, with even more program management experience, I was able to go work with him in his new projects. But that never would have happened if I didn't lose my first job, because I was in sales. I never would have stepped into these steps. Working in that job now with my dad is how I met Lafayette. So if I didn't lose my job, if I didn't move across the country, if I didn't lose my job, any of those things, I never would have had the skills to work with my dad to eventually go and hire an intern named Lafayette, which he has an incredible story on his own of, you know, working on a shipping dock and so forth. So just crazy. So I meet Lafayette, and as you all know, we are brothers and we started this amazing podcast. The podcast was one of the first steps I thought this is a purpose for us to step into. But even then, as it says, John and Lafayette have purpose in leadership. We've both sought out additional purpose or deeper purpose within the podcast. So while we thought we found it, we thought, we're not quite there. And while we love the show and we nurture and we grow the show, we thought, we need to go a little bit deeper. And then we've both stepped into deeper leadership roles within what we've discovered and understood, and the relationships and networking and everything through the podcast. And we both, Lafayette has written a book recently. It'll be released soon. Can't wait to see that. I started coaching certain things that were deep in my purpose. So now understand though, it's been almost 17 years. I'll be 40 this year. I graduated when I was 23. So 17 year journey. And my son the other day said, Dad, you're kind of old. I said, thanks, buddy, but I've only been an adult 3 years longer than I've not been an adult. So there you go. Like, let's be honest. It hasn't been that long, guys. So when you're 35 and you feel like depressed because you don't have purpose, you just need to step into whatever's available to you, find out what you can learn, and look for the next thing. And I promise you that purpose will show up. Just keep looking, but don't get down because you haven't figured it out at 30 or 40 years old. Just keep on moving and be grateful for the opportunity that you have at that moment. And then you'll find your purpose. But the purpose changes all the way through.
My God. Man, I think everything that you said was powerful, man. But I think if it was one takeaway, it's for those that just heard what John just said, you need to sit down and have reflection. Because we can get so caught up in, man, where I am, or I can't believe this happened, when you don't realize if when you reflect, you look at the whole puzzle, you look at the whole picture, because disruption is just a piece of the canvas. It's not the whole canvas. It's just one brushstroke. That's all it is of an entire canvas. And you just walked us through 17 years. You just gave us a 17-year recap of disruptive, of one disruptive moment. It was like a domino that started all of these things. Look how many intersections, connections, bridges, networks that you made over the 17 years. I didn't even know that. You know, you and I are sitting here talking on this podcast because of a disruptive moment. Like, as you were talking, like you said, man, I could think of the disruptive moments in my life, from going from a shipping dock to going to working with you, but while working with you, experiencing another disruptive moment. That, hey, here's another opening. to go work at the credit union while working at the credit union. Here's another disruptive moment to transition into what you went to school for, to another disruptive moment, move you to another city, to another disruptive moment. The job that moved you here set you up for a whole better job. And just, I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. That disruption is absolutely necessary to purpose. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no getting around it. And I think even to go back a little further to what you said when you were talking about the mental and the depression, how it's not a chemical imbalance, I think that is so good. Because what I got out when you said that was, don't allow disruption to change your identity. Because you can take on something and you become an issue, and your issue becomes your identity. Your problem becomes who you are. You become that. You become that label. You know, we're in a whole, and I'm not going to go too far down that rabbit hole, we're in a whole culture of people trying to label, but also not label at the same time. We want identity, but then we don't want to be identified. That doesn't make sense. So I'm going to leave that there. I'm going to leave that there. But we have to be careful. We have to be very careful that we take on these identities or non-identities because we're having disruption. You may have depression, but as you said, depression doesn't have to have you. It is not who you are. You are not broken fundamentally, because God doesn't create junk. As you say, John, is one of your favorite things. God doesn't create junk. And that's in the word. The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Point blank, period. So fundamentally, for who you are, is not depression. You are not depression. You are not anxiety. You are not ADHD and all these things they try to slap labels on our kids. And now that, you know, I'm a father, I was telling my wife the other day, I said, listen, when it comes to our children, I'm not going to allow a doctor that if they're going through something to label them or to say, hey, your child needs this medication because they can't sit still in class or you know, they have a trouble listening at home and you just give them this medication. Well, what do you think that's doing to their brain? You're altering, again, and I was telling my wife this the other day, so it's amazing that you said that, bro, because what we think is helping this generation is actually crippling us even more to be codependent or to be dependent. Not codependent, dependent, because I believe God did not create us to be dependent beings, that where I have to depend on you so much that if you move out of my life or something happens to you, my life falls apart. But I believe he created us to be interdependent, to where we work together cohesively as teams, as units, as unity, in a unified front. So we are not to be so dependent on something, whether that be medication or person or resource, but we are to be interdependent. That is the call, because disruption will try to come in and create cracks in your interdependency and make you dependent on something that will not sustain you. This is what happens when you see drug addicts or you see addiction. That's all addiction is you are depending on something because you had a disruptive moment. And so you turn to a bottle, or you turn to a crack pipe, or you turn to marijuana, or you turn to CBD, whatever you want to put in that fill in the blank, is because you couldn't handle disruption. And all we're trying to tell you tonight is that what just John just said, disruption is a part of the plan. It's not a part of your downfall. It is not to be your detriment. It is to help you propel you forward and launch you into your purpose. That just as John said, so for John, it was a 17-year journey. Some of us, it's a 30-year journey. Some of you, it may be 17 days, 17 weeks, 17 months. That you'll be able to look back and say the disruption. If I didn't experience disruption, I would not be the person I am today. And I ultimately will not be the person that God wants me to be tomorrow. So you have to learn how to embrace disruption. Embrace disruption. Disruption is here to make you. It is not here to break you. John, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Not much. Just yes, sir. Everybody has to understand that disruption is an ongoing thing. It's not a thing that just happens once or periodically. Some are bigger than others, but there's disruption every single day and in most moments.
Yeah.
What we have to understand how to do is identify which disruptions are causing harm that we can control and get and remove. For example, your phone notifications are constant disruptions. Yeah. You can actually remove, as I do with my phone, almost all notifications.
That's good.
So unless it's a text or a call, I don't hear about it, not even an email. And so it removes your disruption, right? Yeah. And then there's other ones that you can't control that come in, and you have to learn to embrace and grow through them and let them galvanize and make you stronger. Yeah. And grow through those and not try to avoid them at all costs, which could actually prohibit you from growth. So, absolutely. Yes, just embrace the disruptions and grow through it. And look forward to you in 5 years.
John, you have something that you have stepped out into in purpose with helping fathers, leaders, and men. And I think that this episode is appropriate to those that are dealing with that disruption, that you have something that can help them in that area. So talk to them about the leading dads.
Yeah, are you talking about the community or the...
Yes. Yes. All of it.
Yeah. So as we were talking about disruption and finding purpose, one of the things I wanted to find is I used to help people in some light coaching, and I knew because the energy it brought me, I had to look into that deeper. And so it was quite a while ago. I went through the path of who am I supposed to impact with what I know and who I can help become better. And that was men, specifically fathers. So while I coach men and so forth, I coach mostly dads and teach dads how to not just win at work, but also go win at home. So that you, because the reality is you can get fired from jobs, you can get let go, you can lose titles, but the one thing you'll never lose is the title of dad. I hope you don't only get the title of father, but you have the title of daddy, the title of dad. And that comes from your kids. You don't get to pick that. They choose that for you. And they choose that for you because the intentional father that you become with your children. And I hope that the biggest legacy for most men is actually their next generation, not their amazing career. And so my purpose in that is helping men identify that and help them create that legacy with their child and knowing that their children are going to be amazing. So my mother-in-law the other day came up to me. My son was helping me paint. My wife's grandfather passed away a little while ago. And so I was painting a room so they could sell the house. And my son came along with me and he's helping me paint. He's learning how to paint. He's 12. Teach him how to do some of this construction stuff. And he's doing a great job. And my mother-in-law comes up. She goes, "You really got lucky with those two," meaning my two kids. And I understood what she meant. But honestly, I thought, the luck has nothing to do with this. Because they're turning out exactly how I thought they would based on how I've essentially programmed my children to turn out. Because if it was luck, then it would be up to nature, not nurture. And then some people would just be good and some people would be bad. But as Lafayette mentioned, God doesn't create junk, right? We just nurture our kids to become great or not. Now, I know that sometimes they make their own choices and they will go through periods of developing and galvanizing based on bad choices, and I'm cool with that. So anyways, within that, as Lafayette said, yes, the Intentional Dad Blueprint was a blueprint I created on how to help men become better parents, because parenting is called parenting because it's about the parent, not about the kids. And so when you can understand that your child is merely a reflection of you and then your past sort of association with them that actually gives you strength to understand how you can improve. So therefore, everything I focus on is how can dad improve? And some tips and tricks on how to be give them some better parenting and how they can be communicate with their kids a little better and so forth, have a deeper connection and all that good stuff. So yes, I do coaching through that, small groups, and also we have a great community called the Intentional Dad Community, which men can jump into, get resources, network with other dads, take some classes, take some video on demand courses, you name it, all kinds of stuff.
Absolutely. We'll have to put those links in the show notes so you guys can go check that out. Yeah. And as always, you can follow us at Unscripted Leadership on social media. Our podcast is available on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a rating, leave us a review. Share this episode with someone. I guarantee you will bless them. Listen, as always, we're here to build bridges and not walls. Bridges connect and walls divide. Until next time, we pray that you be the leader that God has called you to be.